Hello, and welcome to the show Gold Squadron Gaze. It's the podcast where two Star Wars-loving gays break down each episode of their favorite Star Wars TV shows, while also being gay as hell. I'm your host, Bradley Brower.
I'm your other host, Charles Rogers, and I have to issue an asterisk to our previous episode.
What do we do now?
So I have been informed that I, for all of my research, for all of my trying to pay attention to this comic, I did get a vital detail wrong, apparently.
Oh god, what did you do?
Apparently, the Sith Lord whom Vader is talking to is not actually named Momin. The name is, and I quote here from my notes, Meow Meow Boy.
Oh my god. Okay. I thought this was going to be like an actual serious fuck up for a second.
No.
Like, we got to go back, edit the whole podcast again.
Dude, it's too late. The episode's out.
I'll bleep out every single time you said Momin and just him. I'll just replace it. Like, I'll find a recording of you saying him and I'll just put it in there.
No, that's what Hope calls him. And so she had sent me a message like, hey, can you sneak this into the next episode? And I was like, well, I could sneak it in or I could just whack Bradley in the face with it, which is my preferred way of doing everything.
So what was the nickname again?
Meow Meow Boy, as in the word meow, meow like Kat said. Meow Meow Boy. And meow, boy meow, is spelled B-O-I.
That's so weird, because in this little crawl for the next episode, it says, after possessing several hosts, Meow Meow Boy's spirit Vader by using the gateway.
God damn it, Bradley. My other idea for the bit was to sneak it into the recap.
Oh, well, there you go.
And see if you would notice.
The mask of Lord Meow Meow Boy.
Thank you, Hope, who has been listening to all of the Vader episodes and talking to me about them. And thank you to everyone who's been listening to the Vader episodes. This has been a really fun diversion that we were able to finish out. But we are finishing it out. This is the last one.
Finally, yeah.
We did it. We made it to the end.
We did it, Meow Meow Boy. We did it.
Oh, Lord Momin. Meow Meow Boy will return. As we know, cats have 9 lives.
I was going to say, is there like a, there needs to be like a little thing at the end of this comic that says just black. It's like, oh, the screen is black. And then in white letters, it just says, Meow Meow Boy will return. Marvel stuff.
I love how much you love this. All right. So as mentioned earlier, due to the SAG-AFTRA strikes earlier this year, we took a diversion into books and comics. We did some books, and then we started doing Darth Vader 2017, the comic run. Today, we're going to be finishing that out. We made it to the end. We just issued 25, and then some discussion of the overall comic. Sorry to people who asked for more books. I did know some people reached out or commented things and said that they wanted to keep seeing some of this content. We are going to go back to TV shows. We are going to do Ahsoka starting in the new year. But Bradley and I are having some discussions about maybe some other books that people mentioned they wanted to see, or that were brought up to me as something, oh, have you read this? We're kind of looking at that. Right now, Bradley's a little bit distracted from listening to Star Wars books.
Right.
Because I was successfully able to talk him into Percy Jackson.
Yeah, I figured, you know, the show's coming out, I might as well just like reread the books. And then I was like, well, I just finished the first book just for the show. I was only going to do the first one. But then I realized, like, as I was reading it, I forgot how much I actually liked the series. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to actually like read the whole thing.
Horrible. And for the record, you have only read up through the first Heroes of Olympus book.
Right.
You've read all the main Percy Jackson and then Heroes of Olympus. I've read them all. And they go some places. They go some fucking places. Oh, boy. Just like this comic that we're reading today. See, I can do a segue.
Probably. I like it. That was a good segue.
I know how to do a segue that weaves the various topics of conversation together. Anyway, this episode on Darth Vader 2017, Darth Vader goes through trippy force bullshit. That is a summary of the issue. Bradley, what was the one thing you liked about this issue and one thing you did not?
That's actually probably the best description of this entire issue. No, I really liked the little clips, or not clips. God, I'm going to, I always talk in TV terms.
We're always talking in TV terms.
I like the flashes of his history. As I was reading them, like, they were all quotes from the movies and the medias, or the different medias. And I just, like, I could hear it in my, like in my head, like the audio from all of them. So I really liked that. I was just every single time he's like, are you an angel? Like, I just like stuff like that. Like I played in my head because, you know, I have, you know, the Phantom Menace burned into my skull since I was 8 years old. So it was really like, it was just really nice to read all that stuff. The thing I didn't like, maybe I just didn't really like how it just kind of ends. I don't know where this comic book series goes. Maybe you can explain it as we get to the end, but I like, this is clearly the end of the series. And so for me, it just felt like it just ended. Like there was no resolution. I needed something else to happen other than like character development. Like I needed like something.
We'll get there when we get there.
Okay.
I also, when I reread it, I had the same thought to where if I was reading it and it just slammed onto the end panel and then like, oh, it's over. But we'll get there when we get there. At the end of the comic.
Okay.
One thing I really liked was everything. And one thing I really disliked was absolutely fucking nothing.
I like it. Simple.
And I tried really hard to do a bit. I tried really hard to find a nitpick, but I was sitting here last night reading it and doing my notes. And I was alone. My boyfriend was at a Christmas party. And I was sitting here alone in the house going, What? And mind you, I've read this comic. I know what happens in it. And there were parts that I had completely fucking forgotten about. And I was like, oh my God, it's the fucking thing. It's the thing from the thing. And now they're quoting from Kylo Ren. What the fuck is happening in this? Oh my God. All right. So my notes are basically just like all of the comic panels in order. So let's get into the reason that we needed a whole ass episode to do this one. And that's, I have just pulled the issue up. Like I've just pulled it up. And we're just going to go through it because
like
my notes are too detailed. So I'm not going to summarize it at the beginning here. I will attempt to summarize it at the beginning, but I'm going to leave out a lot. So Vader is gone through the doorway. He sheds his like physical body and he goes through and he experiences a fuckload of trippy visions. There's a bunch of shit with Jake Lloyd Anakin. There's a bunch of shit with Hayden Christensen Anakin. He sees things. There's quotes from the movies and it's all a chaotic mess. There's one panel in particular that we're going to spend a lot of time talking about. But then finally he makes it to the Jedi Temple-ish kind of thing. It's very nebulous. Fights a bunch of Jedi, gets up there. Palpatine's fighting Obi-Wan. Palpatine kills Obi-Wan. Vader kills Palpatine. He gets out on the balcony and Padme is there and he's like, I could save you. And then she falls backwards off the balcony and fucking explodes. Then Luke Skywalker shows up and then Vader wakes up. And Vader destroys the altar and he calls Palpatine and he's like, Palpatine's like, damn, you survived. How unfortunate. Anyway, did you find what you were looking for? And Vader, now secure and confident in his identity as Darth Vader, no longer split in his mind between Anakin and Vader, says yes. That was as best a job I could do is breaking down this comic. Credits for this comic, because again, it's just one issue. I can have the actual like credits in front of me. Charles Soule was the writer. Giuseppe Camincoli was the, it's credited in the comic as Breakdown in Pencils. I've been describing it as the penciler, but it's Breakdown in Pencils in the actual comics. Cam Smith is the inker. And also Danielle Orlandini, and I'm glad we have the actual comic here because Wikipedia doesn't make a distinction between the two. The actual issue does. Cam Smith was the inker and Danielle Orlandini did the finishes. And then the colorists, there were three of them on this one. They were David Curiel, Dono Sanchez Almara, and Eric Arciniega. So that's the credits for this comic. So Vader just leaves his physical body behind. And we've seen this like weird force body before. Do you remember seeing this weird force body before when he was meditating, Bradley?
Right. And I guess the whole point of that was just to show us like, oh, look, here's what his spiritual form looks like because it's going to come up later. It'll be very important later in the issues.
Yeah, it's really twisted. Remember how I was like, oh, it's really twisted, but there's like the bits of him that are mechanical, but also they're rendered in light blue, which is more of a light color, showing that he's not fully. Remember how I said all of that? Now is the time to talk about that because that's what we see here. He's in this sort of weird force thing. Door closes. He's wandering along. We get Padme quotes. We get Palpatine quotes. We get pregnant Shmi Skywalker.
I like that.
And then we get to the panel. Now, Bradley, do you remember the panel of Shmi standing there pregnant while Palpatine looms ominously behind her?
I see.
With the the word unnatural.
Yes.
Did you have any particular feelings or thoughts about this panel?
Well, first of all, it's creepy as fuck.
Yes.
That's just my number one thing. I do like it, though. It's really hilarious because I guess the whole drama here is supposed to be like how Shmi gets pregnant with Anakin, right? Like, that's like what everybody's constantly arguing about, is that he's this immaculate conception.
Yes, that was the drama, because oh boy, the internet had some thoughts about this panel.
Okay, what was the consensus?
Well, I cannot tell you the consensus because people are still arguing about this panel to this day.
Oh, okay.
I can give you some word of people who were involved in this comic, who then had to try to fucking explain this comic. So I am quoting here from quotes I can find. They are abridged quotes. But I'm going to quote first from Lucasfilm creative Matt Martin, who's a member of the Lucasfilm story group who worked on this comic. And he said, this is all in Anakin's head. I can tell you definitively, as someone who worked on the comic, that being Palpatine creating Anakin Skywalker through the Force, is 100% not the intended implication. He then goes on to say, somebody apparently said, well, Matt Martin's not the writer. To which he responded, it's part of my job to ensure the stories are aligned with the overall vision of Star Wars. If the intention was to make a direct connection between Palps and Anakin's birth, I would have had it removed. And then Charles Soule, who fucking did write the comic, chimed in and said, I am in fact the writer. Matt and I worked very closely on this series and on this point in particular. I hate explaining stuff in my work in too much detail, but you need to understand the scenario happening here. The dark side is not a reliable narrator. So this panel caused some consternation.
I see. I mean, first of all, I love that he's like, hey, it's the narrator's not telling you necessarily the truth or giving you all the information, right? I like that I don't know if it's implied that he did something to her or something. I don't even see it as that. I just see it as more like he was kind of overseeing or watching her. I don't know if it necessarily means that he was directly involved. I like to subscribe to the fact, like my personal headcanon is that Shmi met some random pilot, fell in love with this guy. He was kind of like a loose cannon, kind of like a, you know, like a, she just met him, they fucked, and she got pregnant and he left. Like, he didn't stick around. He was just like a deadbeat dad. And then that's why, like, when in the movie, she's like, there was no father. She's implying that, like, I raised him because I'm, you know, the only parent he needs. Like,
interesting.
I don't think of it as like, oh, the Force like gave her a baby. Like, I look at it like differently.
That's an uncommon way of looking at it, because I think a lot of the consensus is that Anakin was immaculate conception. But now that you pointed out, I don't think she ever explicitly says in the movie like, Yeah, I see this panel more as, you know, she was pregnant and Palpatine sort of looming behind her waiting to grab the kid.
Right, exactly.
That's how I see this panel.
For sure.
But it's also like it's twisting, because the dark side lies, right? It twists the truth. And we see this all throughout the prequels. It twists the truth to serve its own ends. And that's what I think is going on in this panel. And that's also why I really like it. And that's also why I think people on the internet didn't understand it.
Right.
Because they need direct explanations for things. If it's in any way vague, they are going to freak out about it.
Of course. Now, I also have a second headcanon that is really stupid and is off track, and it's going to be a little bit of a tangent. And it doesn't work with the Disney movies, so please ignore my theory, because
this is the Legends. Really, this is the Legends canon, Bradley,
yeah,
theory.
This is the Legend canon headcanon right here. My headcanon is that Palpatine physically impregnated Shmi when he was, you know, he's slightly younger. I mean, he's still an older guy, but like, that's my headcanon.
Is somebody out here writing? Hold on. Is somebody out here writing Shmi Palpatine fic? Like, deathly seriously?
I'm sure somebody is.
Hold on. I'm going to AO3.
Oh, God.
I badly need to know if someone has written this.
Also, the reason why that doesn't work is because that would make him both a Palpatine / Skywalker. If you fast forward to Rey and, yeah.
That would be a problem.
Kylo Ren.
Oh,
my. Bad thing.
Is somebody actually writing this? Oh my God, is actually writing this.
Yeah, he's like a rich daddy. Like, why would she not want, you know, to hook up
with him? Oh my God, somebody is writing. Shout out to the people that are writing this.
Y'all have too much time on your hands, first of all. Second of all, good for you.
Good for you. I fully support this insane bullshit. Oh my lord. Yeah, it's worth remembering that all the visions in here are like lies and twisting and
right.
So none of this is meant to be taken literally. Suddenly we're back with Jake Lloyd Anakin.
Shout out to the callback to the Phantom Menace poster.
Oh yeah, I was about to get to that. We get to the fucking, so there's a thing where for our younger listeners around the age of 18, 19, if you're under the age of 18, you should not be listening to this podcast. but for our younger listeners who are 18, 19, 20 years old. So back when the Phantom Menace came out, one of the first like marketing things they had was an image of Jake Lloyd Anakin walking toward the camera and he's casting a shadow behind him on a building and the shadow is Darth Vader. Like it's a silhouette of Darth Vader. And so in the comic, he turns around and he's like, holy fuck, what is that? And it's the shadow of Darth Vader. I do love that. And then Vader fucking grabs him like some weird horror shit.
I'm telling you, a Star Wars horror thing would be really good. I don't know why, like, if they adapted this comic into a TV show or a movie, I think it would actually be
this would be
good.
Scary as fuck.
I think they would have to make it scary, like, to
this
make
would
it
be
really
scary
good.
As fuck.
Yeah, I want
some of the
I
stuff
wanna,
like, they do well no like some of the stuff they generally do in the comics and books, I'm like, particularly in the High Republic, some of the stuff they do in the High Republic and I'm like, Jesus Christ, you would never get away with that in a Star Wars movie. You would never get away with that. We have a nice little scene with Shmi and she's like comforting young Anakin. I do want to shout out two things about this section. One, I love the amount of Shmi love that this comic gives. Because Anakin always seems so focused on Padme. Whenever people write stories about him, he's so focused on Padme. It's like, no, a large part of his motivation was his fucking mom.
Right, I think people tend to forget that he literally murdered a whole entire village of people over his mother. Like, why are we forgetting that tiny
we
little
detail?
We just
forget that happened.
Yeah, I'm like that's literally like the start. Like, I mean, it's not the start, but it's the true turn, like where he starts turning. Like,
it's the first big warning sign. That,
right,
like,
it's the biggest red flag right there.
Something's about, it's the biggest red flag. The stuff with Shmi is the biggest red flag. And like, she's so important because you can make all of these arguments. You can say that like, oh, he was too attached to her. But at the same time, you can also say that like, taking Anakin away from her was part of what was a problem for him. That if he had been able to like still communicate with her, she could have helped guide him, because clearly she knew what she was fucking doing.
Right.
The Jedi didn't know what they were fucking doing. The other thing that I really love about this section is the amount of love for the Phantom Menace Anakin in this.
Mm, yeah.
Because nobody ever flashes back to that.
Yeah, this is like the, what, in this series alone, this is the second or third time
we've seen this is the it? Second time. The yeah. first time we got that creepy little Jake Lloyd Anakin sure. with Vader's face back on the starship 2 episodes ago. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, that was set up for this.
Right.
Everything in this comic is set up for this. Everything like was building up to this moment when he's in this fucking trippy force vision. But I think because, you know, what happened to Jake Lloyd happened to Jake Lloyd. He's not getting a renaissance the way Hayden Christensen is, and he probably never will.
Right.
A lot of ways because of that, and a lot of ways because Jedi Anakin is a little more interesting of a character. People don't really acknowledge the 9-year-old Anakin that much. I feel like that's a missed opportunity. Like, what his life was like before. Because when The Phantom Menace was coming out, and because, you know, The Phantom Menace was tied so intricately into all of the marketing machine for the prequels and all of that, we got a lot more about Anakin either before the events of Phantom Menace or right after the events of Phantom Menace. And I don't think we have a lot of that in canon. I think it's largely ignored this.
Yeah, I think there's actually, not to jump ahead, but like there's a little part where you see Anakin side profile and he's like growing up in his
this
like,
is we're Anakin. At that. We're oh, at okay. that section.
Yeah, there's this, it's the one that stands out the most to me is the second one, which is where he's kind of got his little rat tail starting to grow, his little Jedi braid, and he's like kind of in between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones Anakin. And like that's the era that we know, like we haven't really explored, is that young Anakin, like training. Like, we know when he's like a teenager, we know when he's a 9-year-old or whatever, but that's it. Like, we don't know anything in between. And so I think that's the most interesting one.
Yeah, I really can't think of a lot. Because there was a lot, because it was marketing for the prequels, there was a lot of like middle grade books and stuff that centered around Padawan Anakin, We got, this was a thing that I think Legends honestly did better. We got a lot of Anakin.
Yeah.
Now, the writing of Anakin depended on the writer. And also, you have to keep in mind that a lot of these did not know the plots of either Attack of the Clones or Revenge of the Sith. And so they just had to make stuff up. So it's a little inconsistent, but we get more of him as a kid. Whereas in canon, we have a lot more of him because of the Clone Wars and because of all the Clone Wars novels. We have a lot more of him as an adult. But anyway, we get this scene where he's walking through fiery visions of basically all of the prequel movies. So he gets to watch all of... You know that scene in the first season of Loki where they're like, shit, we have to get Loki like to the point where he was, but also we pulled him from 2012. So their solution to this is to just show him a clip montage of all of the Loki scenes from the movies so that he can get to like the emotional point he needs to be. This reminded me of that.
I feel that exactly.
Yeah, we get this absolutely fucking buck-ass wild scene where he's walking through fire. It's showing him visions of him, like, growing up. And then it lands on this panel of him and Ahsoka.
Right, which was weird that they did him, like, they kind of skip over the Clone Wars a little bit. I mean, they show him as a teen, but, like, they don't, they do Attack of the Clones, but then they don't do Clone Wars. And then they do a separate one that's just Ahsoka and Anakin in Clone Wars. And then they do a second one that's Ahsoka and Darth Vader in Rebels.
Yeah, it skips ahead to Rebels. So now we're seeing the future.
Oh, this hasn't happened yet. Oh, shit.
Because that season of Rebels is like two or three, I think it's two or three BBY. This has not happened.
Oh, shit.
And the text on the page, I was getting to this, but I'm going to see it now. Okay. The text on the page, it was foretold that you would be here. That's the line that he says in the episode when he's confronting Ahsoka. And we're led to believe that the foretelling is like Palpatine told him. No, it's this.
So
he's seeing this confrontation between himself and Ahsoka, and then he's going to reference it with the exact same line when he actually confronts her in like 10 years or whatever.
What in the paradox hell? Like he is...
They fucking bootstrap paradoxes this scene.
Wait a minute. It was foretold you would be here. He's seeing a vision of the future of it with being foretold because this is the foretelling that is being happening. Like,
correct.
Oh my God.
Charles Soule's galaxy brain bullshit on this.
That's like hilarious.
This is incredible.
That.
Yeah, he sees this, but also like she's shining like a beacon because like maybe the first Ahsoka we see, the one panel of her and Anakin is before the events of Mortis. And now that after the events of Mortis, she's literally like got the physical embodiment of the light side of the Force. So she's shining like this beacon in the vision. Yeah, no, I fucking love this. God, this comic is so good. Anyway, Vader walks up to a weird projection of like the Jedi Temple and he sees a bunch of the Jedi. Thank you to Wikipedia for actually having a list of which ones are here. So if you're not reading along with us, first of all, why not? This comic slaps. It's on Marvel Unlimited. You can read the whole thing for $9.99 a month. But secondly, if you are not reading along with us, and that's okay, the Jedi here are Eeth Koth, Sesaten, Yaddle, Jocasta Nu, Yariel Poof, Shaak-Ti, Quinlan Vos, Plo Koon, Mace Windu, Depa Balaba, Farron Barr, Adi Gallia, and Kirak Infilla and Yoda. So basically, all of the Jedi that Anakin fought alongside in the Clone Wars, minus Obi-Wan and Ahsoka, and the three Jedi that he fought in the course of this comic.
Right. I like how they put I forget his name, the guy with the horns.
Farron Barr, Sesaten, or are you talking about Eeth Koth?
The one with the half a horn.
That is Farron Barr.
Farron Barr. Okay. So I like that they added him in here, and then they also added this other Jedi that you might mistake him for.
Sesaten.
Just to reiterate to the audience, like, it's not the same guy. Like,
it is not the same guy.
Yeah,
no.
That was nice of them to do. I thought that was clever.
Yeah, notably, this is all people that Anakin would have known, plus the three that he fought here, right, which is rad. And then he, like, attacks them. There's a fight. He murders all of them. You notice he chopped Mace Windu's hand off?
Oh, here, let me pull up the panel again. Because you know what? There was so much happening. I didn't really
So much happens in this.
You know what? Oh, I see. Yeah, he did chop his hand off. Oh, because that's funny. Because He chopped his hand off in real life.
Yeah, he chopped his hand off in Revenge of the Sith.
Although it looks like he also kind of decapitates him, or he does some kind of move where it looks like he's decapitating and slicing
Right.
his neck or something. And it's like, well, you didn't do that in real life, but okay.
Yes,
But then
and
he, yeah.
he fucking kills all the Jedi, and then we get we're seeing the future now. We get the Kylo Ren quote from Last Jedi, "Let the past die, kill it if you have to." Which just reinforces what I've been saying since that movie, that that line is not a thesis statement. I think people forget when they think about that quote, because that quote gets trotted out a lot. I think people forget Kylo Ren's the bad guy in that movie.
Right. He's not the sexy good guy. What you're talking about? What are
No,
you
that
talking
comes
about?
later. That comes
Okay.
later. No, he's the bad guy in the movie, and he's very specifically wrong in this scene. And it's from the trailer, and then it's such a prominent moment in the movie. Having it here over Vader killing the Jedi is such a good choice, interesting choice, to really hammer home that this is bad. This is a bad thing. Because if you permit me to tangent for a minute about The Last Jedi, sort of the point of the end of that movie is that the past is important,
Right.
and you do have to, you do have to respect it. You can't just ignore it. You can't just deny it. So, having it here, again, the broader thing of Vader, this whole comic, Vader has been struggling with his dual nature as Vader and Anakin. Now, they are the same person. They are not two personalities, but he has been struggling between Vader and Anakin. And Vader's selfish nature and Anakin's slightly more selfless nature. I mean, he's still pretty selfish. So that's what this is wrapping up. This is not just a trippy series of Force visions. Cool as they are, he is metaphorically confronting, and in order to become the Vader that we know in the films, metaphorically confronting and having to kill the parts of himself that would hold him back from being Vader. Bradley's just nodding along, like, whatever you just
No,
said, I
I
agree
mean,
with it.
yeah. What do you want? You want an award? That's, I mean, you said it. Like, it's just really powerful. He's just, it's like not, they do it in such a creative way where it's not like, oh, he's just Vader now. Like, which they could have easily done and just been like, oh, well, he's Vader now. Like, you just have to accept it. That's what he is in the movie. And that's that.
That's what the movie, I
Yeah.
think, wants you to take away from it. But if you
Right.
remember, all the way back in issue one, remember how this comic started. It started, literally picked up right from the end of Revenge of the Sith. And it said, no, hold on, because you don't kill Anakin off that easily.
Right. He can't just become Darth Vader all of a sudden. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Because only a few hours before he becomes Darth Vader, he's like a pretty normal dude for the most part. So you just like, you can't flip that switch.
Exactly. And that's the whole point of this comic, is how do you reconcile Anakin and Vader? How do you reconcile these two in one? These two halves of the same person. These two sides of the same physical coin. That's sort of the thesis statement, and that's what's going on in these issues, particularly issue 27, is he is directly confronting and killing, or we'll see in a minute, not being able to save parts of Anakin. Anyway, he enters in, and now we're in what looks like a Sith shrine, the Sith shrine from Malachor. And then he sees Palpatine and Obi-Wan, and the text bubble is the quote, "I am your father." Now, hold on, because I don't think it's saying one of these two is literally his father. I think the reason this text bubble is here is these are the two men who raised Anakin Skywalker.
Right.
And they had such different ideas of what they wanted him to be. They are almost, in a way, manifestations of the two halves of the Force, selfless and selfish. Obi-Wan gave up his life because Qui-Gon asked him to train Anakin. His training of Anakin was a selfless act. In a way, you could argue that, he felt bad and there's character complexity. But at the end of the day, the reason he tried to train Anakin the way he did was because he wanted Anakin to grow up to be a good Jedi Knight and a good man. Palpatine had an entirely selfish motivation. He wanted to corrupt Anakin and twist Anakin into what he wanted. So these two being at the end over this text is the sort of final challenge to be overcome of these two halves, the selfless and the selfish, struggling against each other. Then, to quote Revenge of the Sith, they fight. Palpatine kills Obi-Wan, but is really warped and twisted. He tries to stop Anakin or Vader. Vader fucking murders Spectre Palpatine and then walks out onto the balcony, and there's Padme Amidala. And I'm going to quote my note here. My entire note for this entire scene is Jesus Christ. Because she quotes Phantom Menace back at him. He's like in the form of Anakin Skywalker now. So only in Padme's presence is he appearing as Anakin Skywalker.
Right.
Then she's like, Anakin Skywalker is dead, fucking falls backwards off the balcony. And then like, he tries to reach out to her and like, she gets zapped with lightning. It's a lot. It's a lot happens in this scene.
Yeah, very dramatic.
Notably, I think what I'm supposed to be taking it from it on viewing it a second time is, or rather a third time, is that he's reaching out to save her and it summons the lightning because she makes like the choking gesture and then we see he reaches out and the lightning like zaps her and like bisects her.
Interesting.
So I think it's supposed to be a representation of the fact that no, once again, Padme is dead. Vader killed her.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because when he like reaches out, it's him reaching out to like, oh, I'll grab you kind of thing. But it's also, no, I'm force choking you. You're dying. Like, yeah.
It's ambiguous. The dark side lies because after she dies too, he does the no pose.
I love that.
He does the one from Revenge of the Sith. He does it again. So Vader did all of this. All of this entire arc of this comic, and in fact, the entire 25 issue comic run, the entire point of this, the entire motivation, get Padme back. And he fucks it up at the last minute because it was never going to happen.
Right.
That ship had sailed. You cannot undo the past. Too fucking bad, Darth. And once again, he is back where he started, being upset that Padme is dead. Whew. Anyway, but he's still in the Force vision, right? Because something else happens.
Yeah, this one you're going to have to explain to me a little bit more because I didn't quite read this as anything. I didn't really make enough sense to me. So
there's like, there's like a blue like explosion of light. Kind of looks like a lightsaber, but you also have to remember the way the colors are designed in this. It's like, it's very, the dark side is red, the light side is blue. You have to kind of remember this is sort of the color scheme that's being used here. So we get this blue, it looks like the ignition of a lightsaber, right? And out of this walks Luke Skywalker. We don't see his face, but he's okay. Wearing the Bespin fatigues. And when he activates the lightsaber in the next panel, he's doing it in the same way that Luke activates it on Cloud City.
Interesting.
So he sees a manifestation of Luke, importantly doesn't see his face, and then Luke activates the lightsaber. There is like a blast of energy, and Luke Skywalker kills Vader in the Force, or zaps him back out.
Sure.
And I think this is interesting because the idea of Luke coming along and quote-unquote killing Vader reflects what will ultimately happen in that Luke's compassion will bring Anakin back.
Right.
That he will, in a sense, metaphorically kill Darth Vader. This is the guy who's going to kill Vader.
Sure.
Vader doesn't necessarily, I think, see it that way.
Right.
Because the dark side lies. So he might see it as quite a literal killing, but that was my interpretation of this series of panels. Anyway, Vader wakes up back in the suit. He destroys the altar so it can never be used again.
All that work for nothing.
All that work. He destroys the altar. He's like, there's no fucking point to this. Collect calls Palpatine. And I just dated myself with that joke. Do you even know what a collect call is, Bradley?
Isn't that like something from prison?
You're not that much younger than me. A collect call?
That's from prison, right? Like, it's like a paid call from prison.
Well, not from prison specifically. We see it nowadays in media as coming from prison.
Right.
But it used to be just, it was a certain call that you could make. And I forget exactly how they worked. But it was a way because you used to have to pay to use a payphone.
Okay.
And so collect was kind of a way you could do it to where I think the other person had to pay. Somebody is going to explain to me. You could dial collect and then the other person would have to pay.
Gotcha. So
for the call. So that's why it would get, you're getting a collect call from this person. Do you accept it?
Do you accept the charges? Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
I think that's how it worked. I just love the idea of Vader collect calling Palpatine.
So reset. Vader Zoom calls.
Yeah, so Vader Zoom calls Palpatine. He like invites Palpatine to his team's meeting or whatever.
Right, there you go. Keep it in this century, Charles.
And Palpatine's like, damn, I was gonna have to start looking for a new apprentice, but oh well. I guess your bitch ass is still alive.
You know what's funny though is I feel like this opens the door for like a whole nother comic series of Palpatine actually training a whole entire other person.
So wonderful news. That happened.
Oh, okay.
It was in the original 2015 Vader run. He's not training another apprentice per se.
Okay.
But for the next 15 years or so, Palpatine will constantly be trying to replace Vader.
Right.
He will be trying to find new and more interesting things that he can use to render Vader obsolete. Love he that. Will use weird fucked up little cyborgs. He will use the Imperial Navy. He will use basically everything to throw at Vader, and he's not being subtle about it either. He's basically like, if you can't keep up, then this machine is going to crush you and I'm going to find another apprentice. But yes, that does happen. Palpatine gets this great quote, "Believe me when I tell you, this galaxy is built on lies. Finding even one true thing, nothing is more difficult." All of that is a lie.
I like that.
So I do love that quote where he's like, everything is a lie. I'm like, that is also a lie. Like, that's the point. The dark side obscures. The dark side confuses. And then Palpatine is like, "Did you find what you were looking for on Mustafar?" And then we get the final panel of Vader standing triumphant in the ruined corpses of the Imperials and the Mustafarians with Fortress Vader looming behind him. And he says, "Yes." End of comic. Vader has successfully completed his transformation from this weird Anakin Vader hybrid into this is just Vader now. And that's what you were saying. I said we would get to it when we got to the ending. That's why I think this ending is the way it is. There's nowhere else to go in this particular leg of the journey.
Sure.
Vader is Vader now. There is no confusion. That Force Vision thing, he passed through being Anakin again and came to the realization that he cannot continue to be Anakin. He cannot keep trying to go after Padme. He can't keep clinging to all of Anakin's old grudges. This is Vader now. Vader has his own grudges. We will see this in other pieces of media, but this is firmly Darth Vader now. And that's where we have ended with him. Standing in front of his gleaming obsidian fortress, fully in his own, surrounded by the corpses of people who died to and for him.
And I think I've been spoiled by a certain studio that likes to give us end clips and mid-credit scenes. And I was just, maybe that's what I was missing from this. I needed like a little blip at the end to be like, hey, if you liked this series, here's a hint at like another series that may be coming soon. Like, you know.
There is, but you have to scroll all the way to the end and it teases the covers of other comics that are going to come out.
Oh, okay. I never get past
See, that. Bradley, so this is called, I know this is shocking, this is called an ending.
It's so weird.
I know it's weird. Sometimes stories will do this where they will have a narrative through arc the entire way and then they will end. I know this is shocking.
Very.
Anyway, we get some nice notes from Charles Soule and Giuseppe Comencoli. And then we get some previews of the Age of Republic comics, Star Wars number 60, because the 2015 run was still going on, and Star Wars number 59, because this run was still going on.
Gotcha.
And that's the end of this comic. We did it.
We're there.
We made it. Bradley, I gotta ask, now that we've made it through Darth Vader 2017, what did you think?
I hate it. I'm just kidding.
I knew you were going to do that bit. Well, you and I have been doing this podcast for almost 3 years now. I knew that was the bit you were going to do.
No, it was really good. I think people forget that Vader is such a cool character. Like, he's not just this random villain from the first movie. Like, he's literally, like, he's layered. Like, he's got so many cool things that we just don't get to see from him. I feel like, actually, the movie does... if you look at the movie as a vacuum, it's great, you know? It's its own thing. But if you look at just, like, the original Star Wars as, like, this start to this story of all... It does a disservice to him because it doesn't, like, explain anything about him. And we get all this other extra stuff through all the other media about his character. And then, you know, the prequels and Clone Wars, we get, you know, him before he's Vader, and then Rebels and all the other movies, you know, we get him after, and they don't really go in hard enough, like what makes Vader Vader. And I feel like this was such a great opportunity for them to like really just give us more of the Vader character. We have plenty of Anakin content. We know who Anakin was. We know all his shit. We know his whole story. We don't know a lot about the time between, you know, Revenge of the Sith up until A New Hope, and really like any of that in between time, because we don't get that character. He's just a bad guy at that point, like in A New Hope. He's just that dude until we find out he's fucking Luke Skywalker's father. Spoiler alert.
Spoilers for spoilers a movie for you've definitely series. Seen if you're listening to this episode. I can only think of one person who doesn't. And even they know that. Even Andy knows because they finished Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Okay, so even if Andy is listening to this episode, which they're not,
right?
Even if they're listening to this episode, that would not be a spoiler for them.
Okay. Well, and also, I feel like if you don't know that I am, like, if you don't know that Luke,
if you don't know I am your father, this comic issue is going to be very confusing for you.
Also, pop culture in general, I feel like most people, even if you've never even seen Star Wars, I feel like most people know that line, or they know Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's
father. So I'm delighted. First Steps is finishing up the High Republic Adventures right now, and because that's what they were doing during the strike, and they're gonna go back, they're gonna pick back up Rebels. Bradley, Andy doesn't know what the Death Star is.
What?
They have no idea. They saw it at the end of Andor, and they were like, what is that? Is that the thing that they were building at the end of Revenge of the Sith? It's so crazy. They don't know what it is. Everybody go listen to First Steps, a Star Wars podcast. It's so fucking funny if you know all this stuff.
Oh my God, that's so random.
Yeah, they don't know that.
Oh, because that means they haven't seen Rogue One yet.
They haven't seen Rogue One. They haven't gotten to Rogue One. They watched Andor and they hadn't watched Rogue One.
Well, goddamn.
Yeah. It's okay. Absolutely buck wild. Cool. Go listen to First Steps, the Star Wars podcast, please. It's so fucking good. No, I agree with you, and I think that's sort of the point of this comic. And I think that's why Charles Soule is an excellent writer, because a lot of times when we think of Darth Vader in media, when we think of him in the broader overarching thing, and then we think of his presence in pop culture, we think of the Rogue One hallway scene. I know there's other stuff before that, but if you ask somebody their favorite Vader moment, it's going to be the Rogue One hallway scene.
Sure.
Basically, everybody says that. And yes, that scene is extremely badass, but that's only a single... That's Vader as the protagonists are viewing him. Because normally our protagonists are the good guys. That's an interesting thing with this comic. Normally our protagonists are the good guys. They're good people that we can feel good about rooting for. In this one, we have a villain protagonist. We still have to have a protagonist, and he has to go on a protagonist journey, but he's also Darth Vader.
Right.
So the question is going to be like, how do you reconcile that? How do you give Vader, as Charles Soule says in his little note at the end, give the monster something to do? Because he's so often just the monster. How do you give the monster something to actually do? And this comic, what it did really cleverly was it took Vader on this journey from not really being fully in as Vader yet to all the way to the end where he's just full on committed to this. But it also used the narrative to explore different facets of like his relationship with the Inquisitors, his relationship with Palpatine, his relationship with the concept of the Jedi. And all of that, like, it's really like a deep dive into his brain, because even to the other Darth Vader series, the only thing that I can think of that nails into this man as hard as this comic does is the Lords of the Sith novel, which you can listen to me talk about in detail on an episode of Force Friends Rewatch. But that's the only other thing that really makes the point to try to get into Vader's head in the way that this comic did. And other times we see him, it's a story about him, but it's not really a story in which he's the protagonist. I'm kind of waiting to see how the current run of Darth Vader ends. That I forget who's writing the current one. I think it's Greg Pak is writing the current one. I'm curious to see how that one ends. I haven't really been keeping up on the comics because that Marvel stopped their proprietary app and I couldn't just buy them on my phone anymore, but that's an entirely different thing. I know Aphra and Bounty Hunters is coming to an end. I'm getting to it. I will get to it. I don't have money right now. But basically, this is one of the only things I can think of that really did that. And I also think it works really well because, like, when I pitched it to you, part of my pitch was it's not going to cross over to any of the other comics. We're not going to have a thing like if we tried to read Dr. Aphra and it like crossed over randomly to War of the Bounty Hunters and you were like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
Why are we suddenly, why is Kira here?
Yeah, that would make
why sense. Why is Darth Vader fighting Kira? I'm so confused. Darth Vader, this one worked well because it was long enough to be substantial, that we could cover it for several weeks, but it was also one self-contained story. And you can see how issue 1 leads through the narrative into issue 25. And I love that about this, and this is why I encourage people a lot of times to start with this comic, because it will give you a good, complete story. And then if you're like, well, I'm interested in knowing what happened to Momin, you can go read Lando. And Lando will tell you what happened to the Mask of Momin after the events of this. Or if you're like, you know, this character is really interesting, I can go read this. If you're like, what was up with those two Inquisitors he murdered? You can go read Rise of the Red Blade. So I love this comic a great deal. I think it's absolutely fucking fantastic. That's my overall thought for the entire thing, is that this comic rules very hard.
I like it.
I loved it. Do you have any final thoughts, Bradley?
My final thought is just my recommendation. I think that, you know, if you're someone who has never read Star Wars comics before, like me, and you want to get started and you want to find a place to start, I don't see why this wouldn't be a great starting point for you. I think it's, you know, you don't have to have a lot of previous knowledge other than just maybe the movies. Like, I don't really know what else you would really need to know.
You need the movies.
Yeah,
you need the
prequels. I think that's pretty much it.
You need the prequels and the original. You really don't even need the original, to be honest. Yeah. You really just need to have watched the prequels.
Probably, yeah. Just at least up till Revenge of the Sith. I feel like if you can watch Revenge of the Sith and then read this comic, you'd be good to go. Like, you would be fine.
Alrighty. Well, that concludes at long last our coverage of Darth Vader. So I have ordered Bradley, in my capacity as an equal co-producer on the show, technically can't give him orders, but I'm ordering him anyway to take the next 2 weeks off. I may be back with an episode next week. Depends on my schedule. If not, I may also end up taking 2 weeks off because I'm very busy and I keep having to delay talking about why I'm very busy. But I promise I will tell everyone very soon why I'm very busy.
Right.
So I may take 2 weeks off. It's nebulous. Keep an eye on your podcast feed. If not, there's plenty of other fantastic podcasts that you can listen to in the next 2 weeks, or go back and check out some of our old episodes, but not too old. Don't go back to the beginning, because the beginning's not very... Also, additionally, we'll do other pluggables in a minute leading out of this, but I do want to say... The 20th of December, the Four Light and Dice crew is teaming up with the Dark Side Divas, which is basically everybody's teaming up with Steph because Chris is on both.
Right.
And we are going to do a live stream watch along. It is for the public, so you can tune in. You do not have to be a Divas patron or in the For Light and Dice Discord to have access to this. For Light and Dice does not have a Patreon, but you can just watch it. But I will be on that, watching the Star Wars Holiday Special. So you get to see my face as the Wookiee jerks it in the middle of the living room to softcore porn.
I will definitely be tuning into that.
You will not be tuning into that. I know you.
Yes.
I know you. You will not be tuning into that. All right. And then after all of that, we will be back on January 1st with a pre-recorded episode to finally, Bradley, we're doing it.
Finally doing Ahsoka.
We're finally doing Ahsoka.
Finally, after 84 years.
After 85 years. tentative plan is to do Ahsoka and then go back to Visions until the next Star Wars thing comes out, probably The Acolyte. It looks like we're maybe only getting 2 shows next year.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I mean, speculation time, I guess. Yeah, there's only...
Normally we do this section at the beginning, but like... Right. We just wanted to dive into Darth Vader so hard. We got a thing that was like, they had talked about the live action shows for 2024, and it's only the Acolyte and Skeleton Crew.
Right.
We're listed. So. No Andor season 2, no Mando season 4, none of that. So like, maybe we'll only have to do 2 shows next year. Then maybe the Bad Batch.
I was going to say that, yeah, that might be actually good. So for those of you who were asking about maybe other books or something, in the interim time between these shows,
we can sneak those in.
We might be able to sneak these in. So it just depends. If there's not 4 shows next year, then,
well, I've also gotten a bizarre amount of positive feedback from the Legends episodes. Guys, I'm going to level with you. The Legends episodes were self-indulgent. I wanted to do them. That's why I pitched them to Bradley so hard, and that's why I worked it out to just do them myself. But I am flabbergasted in a good way by the amount of people who either read the books because I covered them on the show or had already read them and wanted to talk about them. So thank you. We did hear that feedback loud and clear that the Legends episodes were popular. So we don't know. Next year, we know we're going to do the shows, Ahsoka, the shows that are coming out, and we're going to keep doing Visions. The long-awaited Twins episode is going to come out, and we're going to keep on with the Visions shorts. And then we'll kind of play it by ear. Because we have a little bit of time to fill before a movie comes out.
We have quite a bit of time before.
We have quite a bit of time to fill before the movie comes out.
Right.
All right. Well, let's do pluggables. You can also find me on For Light and Dice, a TTRPG podcast set in the High Republic. And if you are a shitty reality TV girly, you could watch Married to Medicine. You could watch Temptation Island. You could watch some other shit I forgot the name of on Bravo and Peacock, because those are the things that Bradley does when he's not here making this podcast with me. Exactly. Did I get that right, Bradley? Do you have anything else?
No, I don't have anything else. I have a new show I did recently that I'm gonna probably promote after Ahsoka or probably during Ahsoka. We don't know yet. We're still shopping it around, so we'll see where it ends up landing. I don't know. And then I have a Netflix show that I did that will come out probably way after Ahsoka, so we'll probably have to do that later on.
Which I hasten to clarify was done in reality TV.
Yes, it
was
all my shows are reality TV. I don't work in scripted, so don't worry.
Not covered by the SAG strike. Don't worry, right. Bradley. Bradley's not a scab. He's just an idiot. All right, well, we will see you all. I might see you guys next week. If not, we will see you in 2024. Bradley, run the socials.
Thank you for listening to Gold Squadron Gaze. Did Charles fuck something up? Send us a message at goldsquadrongaze@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Gold Squad Gaze. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Gold Squadron Gaze. Subscribe to us on YouTube at Gold Squadron Gaze, where we post the podcast as well as exclusive content. Please join us next week and every week for more of Gold Squadron Gaze.
I don't know what just happened on my screen.
The shmee porn crashed your computer. The fanfic crashed your computer.
That is weird.